All right, everyone, are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's the Grimlord's Hentai Corner.
And I've got it. Euphoria. I've got it. The dimensions are proper. You should be able to get a full screen. You should be seeing a full screen. And if you're in the server, grab your barf bag, because this one's going to be rough. Let me go ahead and, even though I love this fucking music, this has a really good soundtrack, by the way, guys. Not even gonna fuck with you. It's got a good soundtrack. Let's see. Sound effects volume, sex effects are up, the master volume. Turn the BGM down just a little bit. Oh, during voice lines it goes down. Okay, it's set pretty good. I'm just gonna move it down a little more during the voice lines. And we also have to look at the window transparency. Display text, backlog I don't care about. But window transparency I want to make as transparent as possible. Okay, return to title. Okay, now those will be the standard settings we'll use for this game if we continue. If you guys really want me to take you all the way through the hell, which I've never experienced myself. So this is new to me as it is to you. Oh, and by the way, people that watch the hentai, completely different experience. People that have read this and watched the hentai said they did not like the hentai, they liked the visual novel better. We will all find out why. Okay, without further ado, let's thank our sponsor, Spinning Robot Pussy, for this degeneracy, and here we go! Where am I? The room was empty, white, the ceiling, walls, floor. Everything was pure white. The only hint of color was the red from the lamp shining above the door. There were no windows. The door was shut. No sound either. I couldn't hear a single thing. It was deafeningly silent. White. A world of white. It felt as though white would consume not only my vision, but also my very thoughts. The room was neither hot nor cold, but the sterile emptiness kept away any pleasant sense of temperance. Mentally overwhelmed by the painfully white room, my breathing grew shallow and I unconsciously brought my hands to my neck. My finger touched a solid, seemingly metallic object. What is this? I felt something solid, smooth and cool, thin but hefty. It encircled my neck like a ring. A metal ring wrapped around my neck. I could only think of one thing. My voice nearly escaped my lips. I breathed deeply and exhaled slowly. Something's not right. That much is obvious. Therefore, I need to remain calm. I need to handle the situation with a composed mind. But I've heard that if you have to tell yourself to calm down, it's already too late. That means I've already lost it. On the other hand, it's not like anyone would keep their cool after waking up in an unfamiliar ceiling. I looked around the room once again. White. Silent. Empty. The room was devoid of everything. Where is this? I didn't have a clue, but that seemed to be the correct answer. I don't know why I'm here, or even where here is. What did I do yesterday? I slowly ruminated on my previous actions. It was a normal day. I couldn't think of anything out of the ordinary. I woke up, just like always. I went to school, just like always. I returned to my dorm, just like always. Went to sleep. And then I woke up here. I certainly didn't come here voluntarily. Someone must have brought me here. Who? For what reason? What's their goal? I had no idea. A string of unknowns. Nothing made any sense, and I felt the need to look down at my feet. I saw the white floor and my familiar sneakers. Hold on one second, guys. I do have to do one more thing I forgot about. Okay, it is set. It is set. Yeah, orgasm, fine. Okay, we're good. Return to game. Gory, yeah, we want gore. Okay, we're back. Nothing made any sense, and I felt the need to look down at my feet. I saw the white floor and my familiar sneakers. Oh, that's right. I need to check what I'm wearing and what I have on me. I was wearing my school uniform. Wait, that's odd. I went back to my dorm, took a bath, and slept in my underwear. Meaning that whoever brought me here went out of their way to put me in my uniform while I was asleep. So some stranger touched me in my sleep, not exactly the most pleasant thing I've ever experienced. I rolled up my sleeves. I had no watch on. Next, I rifled through my pockets. No cell phone either, just as I expected. Let's put things in order. I was in an unknown place. My uniform and sneakers were my own. Some sort of collar was around my neck, and I wasn't carrying anything like a wristwatch or a cell phone on me. I didn't enter this room on my own, nor do I know who brought me here. Unease and a creepy sensation assailed me, though I didn't panic. Alright, I've got something of a handle on my mentality and the situation at hand. I'm actually quite calm, I think. Now what? Just sit around and wait for someone to save me? That doesn't suit me. There's no guarantee anyone's even coming. If that's the case, I have to do something with my own two hands. Time to get out of this room. I slowly walked forward, investigating the door in front of me. Huh? Something had changed in the white room. The lit lamp went from red to green. My eyes darted about, my ears picked up. Did anything else change? Was anything audible? Nothing of note outside of the lamp's light changing to green. All right, so what now? Okay, so what am I doing? Do I head towards the door or do I stay there? Anybody that's actually in, what do you want me to do? If you're in, you get to make the choice. Okay, I'm heading towards the door. I had no choice. There was only one thing I needed to do now that the lamp was green. I walked towards the door. I stood before it. The door opened with an electronic noise before I even had a chance to touch its metallic surface. Another white room, not unlike the last one. A number of figures in there turned to me at once. Then... Kei-chan! A girl clad in a school uniform ran up to me. I gazed at her in awe. Kane! That's right. There was no doubt about it. It was my childhood friend, Kane Hikari. Kei-chan. She said my name with a concerned tone. Kei-chan was born from my full name, Keisuke? Kane's called me that for a long time. Why would Kane be in a place like this, though? I immediately noticed an unfamiliar and altogether aberrant object around her neck. Something round with what seemed like a monitor attached to it. Yeah, it was a collar. So that must be what's around my neck as well. Rage welled up inside of me. It was infuriating to think that Kane was also involved in this bizarre scenario. If only it was just me. Are you okay, Kei-chan? She inquired with an anxious look. She must be uneasy as well. But the first thing she asked was if I was okay. That's just how Kane is. She's so nice. She's more worried about me than herself. And that's why I have to worry about her. Yeah, I'm totally fine. How about you, Kane? A high-pitched voice echoed in the room just as I was about to ask her if she was okay herself. Another small girl wearing a uniform vigorously embraced me. Her voice and movement, it has to be... Makiba! Not just Kane, but Makiba too? Makiba is a junior who belongs to the same club as me. She said, Senpai, Rika was so scared. Yeah, are you okay? I don't know. Makiba knit her brow. Around her neck was another collar. We were all in this room when we woke up. I didn't know why I was here, and it was so scary. So you all woke up in this room?
So
Yes, we were all here. Where were you, Senpai? I was in the room next door. I just woke up myself, and I only came here because it looked like the door had unlocked itself. We just woke up earlier as well. The last girl just woke up a moment ago, and just as we were about to start talking with one another, the door opened and you showed up, Kei-chan. I see. I processed the information I had gathered from Makiba and Kane. Kane and the others were in a separate room next to mine. They had all woken up around the same time and had yet to talk with one another. We woke up around the same time, meaning what? We were drugged to awaken around the same time frame? I checked over who else was in the room, trying my best to grasp at some hint with what little information was present. I knew everyone there. I didn't know some of them very well, but I still recognized them all. Kanye, both my classmate and childhood friend. Makiba, a junior that's a year younger than me, belonging to the same club. Class rep Endo, she seemed irritated. A girl from the neighboring class, Oi-sensei, or I think it's actually Oi-sensei, the English teacher. And Monica, another girl from my class. Her first name is Nemu, I believe. I've never really spoken to her, but she's quite popular among the guys, so I at least know her name. Monica's eyes met mine. She not really polite to stare at her. The two of them look considerably more composed than the others. I guess it's just their personalities? Everyone else seemed uneasy, myself included. We all had collars around our necks as well. I can't just sit here being scared. What's important is that I'm not alone. Kane is here with me. I couldn't care less about where we are or why we were brought here. There are even more pressing matters at hand, and our goal is as clear as day. This isn't a normal situation. We need to escape from this creepy, barren place before something happens. Look. All components and required personnel have gathered. What's happening? I don't like this, Senpai. I'm scared. The sudden broadcast further disturbed us all. Everyone looked around apprehensively. The voice reverberated, and it was hard to tell where it had originated from. Maybe from above? There might be hidden speakers above us. I will now explain the game. Game? What game? What? What's happening? What's about to start? Be quiet. I can't hear. The girl from the neighboring class's sharp interruption made Endo grimace and swallow her words. The voice continued, its tone detached. It was so modulated that it felt completely inhuman, probably developed with voice synthesis software. Okay, Rokukei Khan Academy's Keisuke Takato from Class 2B. Okay, Miyako Ando and Kane Hikari, also from 2B. The voice read our names. Okay, we have Nemu Monika, also from 2B, and we have Rene Byakuya from 2A. Okay, we also have Rika Makiba from 1D and Aoi Natsuki, the English teacher. The game will begin with the above 7 people as a group. I will now explain the rules. This This game's objective is to unlock 5 locked doors and escape to the surface. The players will be assigned the role of either unlocker or keyhole. The key to be used upon the keyhole shall be placed within a box inside the unlocking room. Unlocker, please select a keyhole and use the key and open the door. Now the unlocker and keyhole roles will be determined. Determination will be conducted automatically under a single condition. Individuals possessing an XY chromosome will be unlockers. Individuals possessing an XX chromosome will be keyholes. Males assigned the role of unlocker, please use the keys inside the boxes on females assigned the role of keyholes, mouth, vagina, breasts, buttocks, etc. I guess ears and nose are, like, part of it. Some of the girls begin to stir from the disturbing information just nonchalantly transmitted to us. What? Huh? Huh? What? Wasn't something wrong with that explanation? Use the key? Male unlockers, in other words, myself, are to use the keys on the keyholes or female's mouth, vagina, breasts, and behind. This essentially amounts to me raping the girls, regardless of whatever these keys are. That would never be permitted. Refusal to participate in the game or actions that break the rules will result in a game over. That concludes the explanation of the rules. Please use the terminal in the main room for all inquiries concerning the rules or more detailed information. The game will now begin. Please move to the room once the lamp above the door turns green. This isn't a joke. Class rep began to scream hysterically, probably overwhelmed by the stress and tension of the situation. Kane rushed towards her and I quickly followed. It's okay, don't worry. Nothing's okay. Kane reached over to try and calm her down. Class rep reacted by violently slapping her hand away. Ando-san, please stay calm. What are you saying, Sensei? I can't stay calm. What's with you all just standing there? She then began to shout in the direction where the voice seemed to have originated from. A crazy game like this would never be permitted. Cut the crap and let us out of here already. This is a crime, got it? Stop it, class rep. Calm down. I grabbed hold of her arm to stop her from panicking. No! Let go! Shocked by her sudden frenzy, I let go the moment I touched her. Ando frantically ran away from me like she was fleeing from some wild animal, then pressed her back against the wall. She screamed.
Don't get near me. You're as much of a criminal as whoever thought up this game if you're planning on participating. But I... She covered her ears and shook her braided hair about as she shouted. Stop! I don't want to hear your excuses. I don't like this. I hate it. I can't stand it. Her screams echoed in the white room, her shrill, frazzled voice stunned everyone. That's Miyako Ando of Class 2B. The chilly voice reverberated in the white room. Should I consider that to be a withdrawal from the game? I would never participate in a game like this. Hurry up and do the game over or whatever. Stop it, Ando. Don't be so rash. Miyako Ando's desire to withdraw confirmed. Game over initiated. Uh-oh. No! Shrieks rang out from the sudden blackness. I groped about looking for Kanye as I called out to her. I groped about? Okay. Kanye, where are you? Don't move, I'm coming. To you. And with no warning, the lights reactivated. I squinted into the bright light. So radiant that I couldn't see. Are Kanye and the others all right? My vision was gradually restored after being blotted out with dazzling white. There, I could finally open my eyes again. I looked around the white room. Kanye was safe, along with everyone else. Ah. I spoke up without a second thought. She's gone. Class rep was just there a moment ago. Astonished, I looked around, but she was nowhere to be found. Kei-chan, Miyako-chan is gone! I know, let's search for her. The door was suddenly unlocked as though timed to further arouse our urgency. The doors opened horizontally, indicating we should move on to the next room. Were the lights in the next room out? I couldn't see a thing. The door will close in 10 seconds. Please move to the next room promptly. 10, 9, 8, 7. What'll happen if we don't move? Rika's scared. I don't know, but I have a bad feeling about it. Yeah, it might be considered an abandonment of the game. Let's all move together. Everyone started to move with Natsuke Sensei's words. Four, three, two, one. The door closed, occluding our vision in darkness. Everyone held their breath, probing the situation. I could hear something. What is that? What is this noise? No, voice! The lights turned on. Ah. What is this? Ando-san? A frightful, disturbed voice could be heard throughout the room. I was speechless before that unbelievably intense, surreal sight. Groans and drool welled up from her gagged mouth. She stared at us with wide-open eyes. Her eyes and her shrieks implored us with a disturbing degree of eloquence, insisting that this was all some sort of misunderstanding. There was no doubt about it. Class rep in her school uniform bound to that ominous chair. It was definitely Ando, but why? What is this? Seriously, what is this?
Huh?
My clenched fists were wet with sweat. My heart beat so strongly that it was like a bell tolling in my chest. My breathing was shallow, and my vision went red. I couldn't look. I shouldn't look at her shameful state, but the more I thought about it, the more my eyes were fixated on her. I couldn't avert my gaze from that terrifying sight. It was like my feet had been bolted to the floor. Miyako Ando, you are hereby disqualified by forfeiture. You will now be eliminated from the game. The robotic voice came on again. Alarm bells went off inside my head. I can't look. I mustn't look. Game over. That is the electric chair. A vicious electric current raced through her body. A spark flew and her blood-curdling shrieks filled the white room. Her body spasmed violently, despite being completely restrained by several leather bands. The chair creaked in tune to her spasms. The sole parts of her permitted to move freely, that being her sailor uniform's ribbon and her two pigtails, madly swayed about from the electric current frying her body. Her bloodshot eyes bulged like they were ready to pop out from their sockets. The brutal surge of current flowed through her body, burning her alive. Her bones looked like they could break at any moment from her white-knuckled grip on the edge of the armrest. As her calves stiffened against her will, the muscles surfaced from the agonizing flow of current. Her hair stood on end as the excruciating electric shock destroyed her muscle tissue and caused her nerves to go awry. Her muscles were so taut that it was as if they would tear themselves apart. The scent of her burning flesh and hair filled the room. Her nose grew runny, tears streamed down her face, and drool bubbled over between the gag and her mouth, of course. All of that moisture evaporated. Please stop! She's gonna die! Miyako-chan's going to die! Don't! You can't go, Ikari-san! Stop! Let me go, Sensei! Please! Miyako-chan! He's saying, stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Natsuke-sensei restrained Kaneya as she was about to run over to Ando. Makiba's sobs and class rep's ghastly wails echoed about, and a great many sparks flew around her. The electric current made her lose control of her bladder, urethra, bowels, and sphincter, causing them to involuntarily constrict and expand. Excreta oozed out from her body with vile noises, dirtying her lower half. The current raced through her entire body, causing it to tremble violently. Her fried brain likely couldn't even comprehend the fact that she had just defecated in front of others. The current continued. Cerebral nerves likely destroyed her beastly, monstrous howls continued to pour out from behind the gag in her mouth. Yellow urine trickled out from her urethra, still covered by her underwear, and its piles of feces just plopped out from between it as well, dripping down to the floor as it gave off an unpleasant stench. They have been censored, but not urine. I guess it's just one or the other. The ammoniacal scent of urine, the raw stench of feces, and the smell of her body being fried mixed together, creating a putrid stink in the white room. The current finally ended. Her small frame went limp as a result. Her eyes rolled back in her head as bubbles formed between the gag and her mouth. A small pool was formed from the brown feces and yellow urine leaking from class rep's body on the verge of death from the brutal electric chair torture she just endured. No one could say a word. Everyone was dumbfounded by class rep's quivering body with her eyes rolled back in her head.
Kane and Makiba's sobs echoed in the room, filled with a foul odor that pricked, no stabbed at our nostrils. Miyako Endo eliminated. The lock was released and the door opened. That's also the last time I have to mispronounce that. Let's move. Come on, everyone. Hurry! Aoi Sensei supported Kane in her dazed state, calling out the rest of us to get a move on. I came back to my senses at her sudden panic shout. She's right. We can't leave Kane and the rest here. Sensei's right. We have to move. Stay calm. You don't have to run. It's fine. Let's just slowly walk over to the door. We all nodded and began to head towards the door. Then... I noticed Makiba had sunk to the floor, crying. Makiba, are you okay? Can you move? She raised her head after I approached and called out to her. Her face was a mess with tears, bloodshot eyes, and disheveled hair. Makiba, known for loving stylish things and paying close attention to her appearance, was a wreck. My heart sank. That's how unbelievably cruel and gruesome the disaster the class rep brought upon herself was. Rika. Rika can't move. I can't stand up. My legs are shaking. Rika-chan. Kane distanced herself from Natsuke-sensei and rushed up to Makiba. She then lowered herself beside Makiba and gently rubbed her shoulders. You okay? I can carry you on my back if you're having trouble standing. She says, I can't. But I can't move. Rika can't move. No good. Her words had lost any sense of coherence due to her traumatized state. Her legs quivered in fear and it didn't look like she could stand properly. She definitely couldn't move on her own. I looked over at the door. It was still open. Oya Sensei stood beside it, looking over at us with a concerned expression. I quickly looked over at Kane and Makiba. I wanted to get them away from Class Rep Sari's state as quickly as possible. I made my decision. I reached my hands out to Makiba. Sorry, Makiba. I picked Makiba up as her waist had given out. She was terribly light. I can definitely carry her like this. I could maybe even run with her in my arms. Let's go, Kane. She says, eh? Yeah. I headed towards the door with Makiba in my arms and Kane beside me. Time to move on to the next room. The door showed no sign of closing, but I still trotted over to it, trying to get away as quickly as possible. My gaze drifted to the two people already in the next room. Monika-san and the girl from our neighboring class. The two of them were awfully composed for having just witnessed Class Rep's electrocution. Did she just smile at me? I looked over at Monika-san again. She wasn't smiling, of course not. Why did I think she had? No way anyone could ever smile in a situation like this. I might be going crazy considering the strange state of affairs. I shifted gears, exiting the room with Makiba and Kane. I lowered Makiba after we moved to the room. She stumbled a bit, but managed to stand on her own. Was she okay? Her eyes were wet with tears again, perhaps from having having flashbacks to what had just happened. Rika-chan. Kane consoled Makiba by rubbing her back as she continued to cry. Even Kane wasn't immune to what just happened, though as she too bit her lip and quivered at times. Kane must have been disturbed by what just happened. Her expression, while composed, suggested that it was merely a mask to not further upset Makiba. Makiba's sobs echoed about as heavy silence weighed down on us. I'm going to leave Makiba to Kane, and with that decision made, I stood up. But still, I looked around the room. Sensei languidly leaned against the wall with which her head pressed against her face. Even at a glance, it was obvious that she was worn out. Kane looked over at Makiba, but she still seemed to be having a rough time. Contrastingly, though, these two looked awfully placid. They kept their cool. It was like the tragedy never even occurred. Were they acting? It didn't seem that way. It's like she's staring at me. Am I just imagining things? No, but I couldn't stop looking at her. No, she's definitely looking at me. I have to say something now that I've noticed. We've already looked at each other for long enough. If I just averted my gaze now, it'd be even more awkward. Is there something on my face? No, nothing. She still looked at me as she shook her head. Her name is... I'm positive that voice said it, but I can't remember. It's just... Just? No, forgive me. It's nothing. Now I'm interested. But she didn't seem to have any intention of conversing with me further as she moved over to Sensei. What was that about? I looked around the room once again. She was now talking with Sensei. Monika-san had her eyes closed as she leaned against the wall by herself. Makiba continued to cry and Kane looked after her. I moved over to the neighboring room as nonchalantly as I possibly could without making a sound nor saying a word. Glass Rep was left in the room, dying and alone. She's still alive after all that? She was still bound to the electric chair. I could tell that no one was coming to help her. Death. Will Glass Rep die? I hid my presence and held my breath as I gazed at her. Her eyes were bloodshot and bulging halfway out. Her nose ran with a reddish, no, black liquid. Her cracked lips wrapped around the gag and drool bubbled out from between them. Her clenched fists had completely stiffened up and her formerly pressed and pure white socks and splashes of yellow urine and brown fecal matter stuck to them. This is what became of Class Rep? Her current state was far removed from her usual self. She was always so serious, scolding the guys over trivial things, but there wasn't a single person that seriously found her to be annoying. Always proper, always trying her hardest, always willing to do anything for the class, even if that meant drawing a line in the sand and fighting with the teachers. Everyone would always go straight to her about class matters. She was a shining example of a reliable class rep. Yet. Now she's... like this. Electric chairs were never originally furnished with the crackling sound of flying sparks. They were designed to kill targets using high-voltage electric current. They would never have the time to experience fear from the sparks or crackling noises. The rampant sparks and crackling sounds do, however, have an impact on the surrounding people, not the one being shocked to death. The blue sparks scattering about would immensely stimulate onlookers' sense of sight. Similarly, the sound of sparks, like something clawing at your eardrums, would do the same for their sense of sound, terrifying onlookers. In other words, this was a show. An electric chair created for show. However, its power was real, and its victims would certainly end up like this. The scent of fried flesh and hair filled my nostrils. There's no doubt that the electric current burned her organs. It was a mystery how she was still alive. Perhaps the arrangement of the electrodes and such were designed to not create pathways that would directly shock one's heart. Urine intermittently dripped down from the class rep in rhythm with her convulsions. It really smelled. I felt like I was going to throw up. Was she constipated, or did the electric current force out the entirety of the excreta within her bowels? A steaming mountain of feces formed with loose stool and dark clumps of excreta, giving off a fermented fecal stench in all directions that had matured in her intestines. The tall mountain of feces giving off this Nose prickling odor also melted a bit from the urine she had expelled. The sharp scent of ammonia, the thick stink of rotten eggs, and the scent of her chair mixed with one another. The unholy blend of those pungent odors made my stomach churn, forcing sour stomach acid to rise up into my mouth. Ha! 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 Yet, I still couldn't take my eyes off her. My entire body was hot and I could feel sweat forming on my back. She was burned alive just because she didn't want to participate in this game. She was eliminated from the game in such a cruel and ruthless manner. Her polished shoes and white socks were soaked... Socks, not shocks. Were soaked with urine and feces. Her hair was completely disheveled, not even showing a hint of how well-groomed it was, and her bangs clung to her visible forehead. I've often heard that wounds inflicted from electric current are more deep than they may appear. Deep inside, her organs were fried, muscles shredded, blood vessels ruptured, her heart beat weakly with an irregular rhythm, waiting for the inevitable end. What? No. Who? How did they... I didn't notice anyone. Kane? No, not her. Makiba? No. It wasn't Natsuke-sensei either in that case. Their voice tickled at my eardrum. I figured out who was embracing me from behind. Monika-san? I couldn't believe it. Why? For what reason? A number of question marks were raised inside my head. Nemu Monaka, my classmate, and a famous one at that. Not just among the boys in class, either. It was said that all the boys from different grades knew of her.
Uh-oh.
Her prim features, rumored to be of Western descent, were removed from that of a typical Japanese person's. Her figure was perfectly proportioned as well. Never associating or fraternizing with others, never part of any crowd. Everyone only saw her from afar. She was beyond everyone's reach. No other phrase could accurately describe her. Even I was among that crowd looking at her from a distance. I never had any opportunities to get close to nor speak with her. Yet there she was, embracing me from behind. And at a time like this... Her moist breath, together with her giggle, blew against my earlobe. Her slender white fingers rubbed my chest in a suggestive manner. They brought to mind an albino Joro spider, smoothly creeping along my chest with an unpredictable capriciousness. There'd be something wrong with me if I wasn't the least bit unsettled by this situation. So what are you up to in a place like this? Her sweet whisper shook my eardrum, arousing goosebumps along my skin and sending a chill racing up my spine. It wasn't out of disgust, though. Hey, not gonna answer me? You're... My body stiffened. Monika-san's white fingers gently teased at my crotch. I stopped breathing and my mind went blank. I couldn't brush her fingers away from me. She lightly petted my crotch, tracing its figure over my pants. My penis was painfully erect, long before Monika-san even touched me. Getting hard over this? She found out. Chilly sweat dripped down my back and forehead, going into my eyes. Yeah, we can also confirm that she's gotten rammed through by, like, people of all grades. Like, just saying. Monika-san was fully aware of the reason why part of my body reacted the way it did. My heart beat so rapidly it felt like it was going to burst. She caught me. I didn't cover it up now. Nor can I make up any excuses. This is bad. What should I do? How do I get out of this situation? Can I even make it out of this situation? She has her very hands on damning evidence. I groaned with despair internally. I was completely on edge. What should I do? What should I do? The repeating words formed a vortex within me. What should I do? What should I do? A refrain formed inside of me. It was like I was some sort of broken answering machine, and yet my thoughts continued to race. What should I do? 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 Class rep was almost dead. The girl was on the verge of death after having undergone electrocution, having her nerves, organs, and muscles torn apart from the inside, and her iron school uniform, clean underwear, and socks dirty with blood and excreta. And it was her completely transformed, miserable state that aroused me. I was unbearably aroused. Abnormality. I'm well aware that my tastes fall under the abnormal. Rape and carnage indistinguishable from mundane violence, and the more cruel an act was, the more it aroused me. I could never let others know that I felt sexual arousal from class rep's brutal visage. That, at the very least, was where I made my distinction. And hence, that was why the situation was so risky. No one could know my dark lust, which was extremely taboo. Well, he said supremely, but, you know. Yet, I needed to find a way out of this, but there wasn't anything I could do. The proof was in her hands. My painfully bulging penis told of the abnormal arousal more eloquently than anything else ever could. Why did she seem to be enjoying this so much? Was she afraid of me? Was she not afraid of me? Did she not find me repulsive? So, looking at that filthy, broken husk is more arousing than me touching your penis? I couldn't say a word. Her whispers were like a demon. In fact, I've heard that demons are known to be beautiful. Chomp. She bit my earlobe, sending a sharp pain racing through me. She injured me with her pearly white teeth. The faint scent of blood drifted towards my nose. Was my ear bleeding? Lick. I felt something wet along my hair. She licked up the blood oozing from my earlobe with her tongue. Her smooth tongue brought forth a sensation different from the pain I felt. A warm, pleasant sensation crept along my spine. Wait, what am I thinking at a time like this? Who knew we'd have a beast participating in this terrifying game? She giggled, caressing my completely stiff body, all the while provocatively tracing the image of my penis over my pants with her white fingers. I wonder what the others would think of this. Monica-san seemed to be enjoying herself more and more after she heard my agitated voice. One person's figure rose up in my mind. Kanye. I'm sure she tried to understand me while wearing an expression of sorrow. And that's exactly why I can't let her know. Because she'd end up suffering deeply in an attempt to understand my selfish pain and dark desires. You don't want anyone else to know, right? Her voice was like a sweet, though poisonous, nectar. One that poured into my ear, penetrated my cranium, and seeped into my brain. I'll keep it a secret. Her voice continued to soak into my brain, numbing it. Paralyzed, my judgment and rationale continued to wither away. So listen to what I... So listen to what I have to say. I won't ask for much. Yeah. How about three things? Your response? She whispered, urging me to respond. Well? Got it. I really have no choice. Hehe. Good job. You're a good boy. She gently licked my earlobe once again, like she was rewarding a child. Then she moved away from me. Well then. First up, let's kiss. Her eyes narrowed as she cocked her head to the side. Kind of a psycho. My considerably wrong impression was that her actions were like those of a cat. My sense of reality likely shorted out from the excessive stress I had just endured. more like a stray cat. God, she just looks so fucking creepy. She brought her face towards mine. Is this your first request? No, this is a kiss to showcase our agreement. Monika-san, I... Call me Nemu. Nemu-san. Nemu. Looks like she really wants me to call her that. Alright, Nemu. Hee-hee. Not bad. Alright, now for the kiss. Well, the music. Here? My eyes darted to class rep. Were we really gonna kiss here, right before class rep, as she lied on the verge of death with that horrid stench lingering about? You gotta imagine how fucked up that is. You just got electrocuted almost to death in a chair, and you have just enough consciousness to where you see two of your classmates kissing in front of, like, dead body with, like, wow, that would be fucked up. Yep, right here. Think you can handle it? Monika-san, no, Nemu insisted that we do it here. I'm sure there'll be more horrible things you'll be asked to do. If you can't kiss me here, you're hopeless. I know. I knew that, but it was still hard to do. Plus, I never really kissed anyone before. My sense of reality continued to fade away. Perhaps an adverse effect of the extreme situation? Still, kissing now is kinda... Man, what a day. Waking up in that white room, meeting up with Kanye and Makiba, being told the game was about to begin, class rep being tortured with an electric chair, and now I'm about to kiss Nemu. It felt like my mind couldn't keep up with the dizzying changes we were put through. I'd probably be even more disturbed if that wasn't the case. This is your first kiss? I was disturbed by her probing words, like she'd seen straight through me. She'll likely laugh at me saying it's just a kiss if she realizes I'm flustered. I'd rather not let Nemu claim the initiative any further. Not because I'm unhappy with that. But I'm not exactly jumping for joy over that, either. She caught hold of my weakness, and now she's using it against me. I really have no choice but to go along with what she asks, unless it's something crazy. I wanted to prevent anything adverse from happening to Kanye, Makiba, and the others because of Nemu using me. Nemu was waiting for my response. I tried my best to not give off a hint of my unrest as I replied to her with a composed voice. Yeah, it's my first time. Oh, me too. That's a bit of a surprise. Though it makes sense that no guy was suitable for a girl so far out of reach, myself included. Nemu brought her face even closer. A sweet scent tickled my nostrils. Shampoo, probably? Or maybe she was wearing perfume. I didn't know. It wasn't a strong scent. In any case, despite how mild it was still so sweet that it made me dizzy. It was like vanilla. You start. I have to do it. I am a man, after all. I probably would have considered that a perk, even, if we weren't in the situation. On the other hand, this would have never happened if it weren't for the situation we're in. Time to prepare myself. It only lasts a second anyway. I should put, like, poison on our lips or some weird shit. Her lips were unbelievably soft. I had to hold back the instinctual urge to go further. This was no normal kiss, though, but one of our mutual agreement. A momentary one was all that we required. I parted my lips from hers. Nope. Or so I thought. Nemu leaned forward, and I could feel her gripping my shoulders. She pressed her lips against mine as she stood on her toes. Now, if this was a romance VN, we probably wouldn't see too much of a problem with this, but this is just really creepy. Her soft, wet tongue invaded my mouth, prying my teeth apart.
Is that a kiss or a blowjob here? Damn. Holy crap. I think that sealed the deal, lady. Her hot tongue wriggled about within my mouth like a living creature. Our tongues entwine around one another. Namu's saliva flowed into my mouth, filling it with a sweet liquid. Okay, that's just him kissing back. We really didn't need that. I was lost in a haze as I coveted her tongue. My mouth filled up with her saliva as our two tongues pressed against one another. She persistently licked at my palate, sending a shudder like a firework from my tailbone to the crown of my head. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm surprised they haven't gotten around and started fucking right on the floor over there next to that dead girl's body. Her deep, hot kiss completely toyed with me. My entire body was burning, and the more her tongue invaded my mouth, the hotter it got. I almost think she's trying to force him, like, to have sex with her in front of that dead body. Because apparently she gets off on that shit, too. The back of my eyes seemed to flicker. Ah, I was losing focus. The white room started to sway about. One thing I'd say about relationships. If you're into some weird shit, there's always somebody else into that same weird shit that you just don't even realize. Of course, you know, even the ones that were into that kind of crazy stuff, they're drinking boxed wine now. Maybe that's for the best. I mean, if you like getting it on in front of dead bodies, maybe boxed wine and cats are a good alternative. And the corner of my eye was, standing there in shock was, Kane. I returned to my senses, grabbing Namu's shoulders and forcing her off me. Jeez, wait. Namu turned around, following my gaze. Her eyes met with Kane's as she stood there in a daze. Ah! Namu broke the terrifying silence with a carefree remark. She even grinned, suggesting she wasn't the least bit fazed by this tone of events. Kane looked at me, then Namu, before looking at me once again. I could tell from her expression that she misunderstood what just happened. No, there was no misunderstanding. Kane, this isn't... Namu linked her arm with mine as I attempted to explain. She snuggled her head against my shoulder, wearing a brilliant smile that would fascinate any onlookers. No, it is what you think. Kane quickly turned around and raced off. Kane! Namu prevented me from chasing after her, though. Nope, no can do. Her gentle voice... Oh, spelling error. Her gentle voice coiled around me like silk wadding. I stiffened up at her voice. I was struck with the illusion of being trapped in a spider's web. Kane Hikari-san, is she that special to you? What's this all about? Namu stared at me. She couldn't keep her audacious gaze still. I've decided on my first request. Hikari Kanai. Choose her. What? Her nonchalant request pierced my eardrums, blowing out of my skull. What are you saying? I can't choose Kanai. How do you expect me to go along with such a stupid request? What's this chick saying? There's no point in me following your orders if I choose Kanai.
So,
Is that so? You do have to choose someone. That's what this game is about. No one will suspect that... No one will suspect a thing, regardless of who you choose, so as long as you don't say a word. And that's why I can't choose Kanai. Oh, going to treat her special? Going to rape someone else just to protect her? Nemu giggled at me as I answered her with silence. I'm sure she wants it. To be chosen by you. Stop saying such crazy things. I spat out those words. How foolish! Why would Kanai want that? So stupid. I wanted to laugh it off as a thoughtless remark of hers. Yet my mouth and throat began to dry up. I'm looking forward to your choice. You know? I want to see you You know, I want to see you discordant with my request, suffering, shamelessly floundering about. Keep on worrying, agonizing, and let me watch. You're a horrible woman. Even that abuse is music to my ears. Run, sir. She narrowed her eyes with an air of composure. Is she serious? Preparations are complete. The voice suddenly echoed in the white room. I lifted up my head. The robotic voice informed me of the game's beginning. The main room will now open. Please determine your course of action with the main room as your base. All players, please move to the main room. Nemu smiled at the voice's announcement. It's about to begin. I'm so excited. How can a girl like her be excited about a game like this? Does she think I won't choose her? Or was there something else? Nemu giggled with my arm still linked with hers. She didn't seem to care a bit about my internal doubts. Nice to meet you. I'm sure we'll get along great.
Thank you.
Okay, and that will probably be the end of this video. It's up to you guys if we continue. You saw some of the scenes of stuff to come. It's pretty damn hardcore, folks. It's pretty hardcore. Completely not out of the, you know, caliber for Clock Up. Clock Up has two modes. Fucking crazy like this and happy hentai or healthy hentai life. This is their other mode. And Maggot Bates, you know, we've already seen some of the crazy stuff there. So we'll check it out. But before we go, since I'm going to go ahead and make a save file now, we can find which one does the save. There we are. Okay. And I will read the chats. Okay, so the comments. Mao Yamisu says, I never actually bothered with the majority of BGM because I noticed a lot of them aren't that interesting, so this would be a first. I actually hear Euphoria's BGM. I don't know, I like a lot of BGM depending on what it is. Umineko is probably some of my favorite BGM of like any visual novel ever. There's stuff where I would just let it fucking play throughout my house while I would go grab tea because like the music was just ungodly. I mean, it was amazing. I'd call it godlike. The soundtrack for some of that stuff was just brilliant. He said, laughing my ass off. I'm surprised if she didn't get ran through. Yep. It says, yeah, that's fucked up. He was talking about the kissing scene. And then he said, kissing ASMR. Yeah, he's right about that. That was a kissing ASMR scene. He also said, Frog, who are you thinking about choosing? Frog says he doesn't know. He wants to make Nemu suffer, but she's gonna enjoy it. I'm not gonna spoil that, because I actually do know. When me and DP first played this game, yes, I played this with DP. He was kind of shocked. And we played it without the scat filter, too. So, yeah. Anyway, we didn't finish it. We just got about maybe past the Nemu scene, and then that was pretty much all we did, because we couldn't get it full screen. It was a problem. So now I know how to do that, and that's the only reason why you guys are seeing it full screen now. I think they all just suffer, yeah, but I'm not really sure. Apparently it has a really good story. Somebody said that the storyline will make you fucking cry towards the end. It actually gets really deep. So I'm hoping for that, because one thing about Clock Up is when they write stories, they can write really good stories. Probably some of the better hentai stories I've read. Sometimes they're really philosophical, sometimes they're really deep and emotional. They're just really good story writers. They just happen to have a lot of hentai in their games. The teacher, you'll see. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, everybody's gonna have some pain. But hey, these guys like it. So, if you guys want to continue, you know what you gotta do. You gotta hit the like. You gotta subscribe. Like, I don't even think Amber's gonna want me to put this on MGTOW.TV. And the only reason why is because it is not uncensored. But Manosphere.TV will. It's 18 plus. When you go in there, there's an 18 plus banner. It says, are you 18? So, hey, if you're a kid, there's no way in hell you need to be looking at this. If you're looking at MGTOW or Manosphere, Red Pill content, you need to check out all those other guys there. Let's leave the degeneracy for the degenerates, and you need to focus on your studies. Because I'll tell you one thing, I may be that one guy that's all about my hentai and anime and stuff, but let me tell you, when it comes to fucking parenting, I'm pretty harsh. Like, literally, when it comes to studying and all that kind of stuff, I believe studying very important. Don't be looking at this stuff. Don't go somewhere else. Look at Coach Greg Adams, look at, if Bulldog Mindset, Donovan Shaw, whatever those guys, if they help, whatever. Pop, you know, stuff like that. What you can relate to. If you're looking at Red Pill content and you're underage, then damn it, look at Red Pill content that's going to help you. Okay? Don't be on my hentai corner looking at stuff like this.
Like my grandmother would say, straighten up and fly right. Don't be here if you're young. But for all of us degenerates, we're going to have more. And maybe Maggot Bates and maybe some other stuff too. Because there's a lot of stuff. I want to play Starless. I want to play fucking Starless on here. Because I have a thing for the mistress, okay? She literally is on my bookshelf. And the couch too. She came with the couch. So I literally have her on my bookshelf. And there's actually a poster of her when she was younger that you can get if you buy Sleepless. And I want that poster. But the problem is I'm not going to pay that Japanese company like $100-something for all the games, and I can't even read them. But it is what it is. Anyway, you guys have a great night. And pick this up at Manga Gamer when it's on sale. The sale just ended. It was on sale for like maybe $30. Now it's back to, holy shit, that's a lot of money for a hentai. So just wait. Be patient. They'll have another sale. They'll have a winter sale or something. And you can pick it up then and experience the degeneracy. But we should probably be damn near finished by that time if we continue to go. Anyway, this is the Grim Lord, and I hope you guys enjoyed the Hentai Corner, and I am out.